Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Hope you are enjoying the new year so far. The deep state now has full control of the federal government, and the mindless basement dweller sits in the White House signing away one executive order after the next, reversing everything President Trump did to improve the economy of our country and the American worker. Rest assured that this radical Democratic Party is watching out for their self-interest as they have lied and cheated their way into office. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, describes this leftist political crowd succinctly as he states to Timothy, chapter 4 of his first letter, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." John the Revelator, in chapter 8 of his gospel, tells us what Jesus said to the lying Jews who attempted to kill him. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Satan is the father of lies. These lying Democrats who justify murdering innocent children in the womb are of their father, the devil. The Revelator tells us in his book, The Revelation, the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. No disputing that. So all you ungodly believers who applaud this wickedness, your day of trial is coming, and fiery judgment shall be upon you unless you repent now before it is eternally too late. The Apostle Paul, who was filled with the Holy Ghost and cautiously led by the Spirit, gives us more insight into who this wicked crowd is. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. All I can say to you who love wickedness and the systemic destruction of our constitutional Christian republic is repent, repent, and repent. Turn from your wicked ways and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Kiss the Son of God, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him and in his word, the Holy Bible. The following message this morning is entitled, Jesus Walked on Water. Should Peter have? Jesus walking on water is mentioned in three of the Gospels, but Peter's noticeably short walk on the water is mentioned in only one Gospel. Why is that? And let me point out to you who have heard from the pulpit that the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not the Gospel for the churches today, but only Paul's epistles are the Gospel for the Gentile churches. You have been gravely deceived. Don't believe it for one minute. So what is the embedded message of Peter getting out of the boat in the story found in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 34? There may be a lot of Sunday morning sermons praising Peter for having the faith to get out of the boat, but Jesus did not praise Peter. He said, O thou of little faith! Why didn't the other Gospel authors point this out about Peter getting out of the boat? The message you are about to hear will be very new to your ears. I was a young preacher boy at a preacher's conference in Ohio when I first heard a preacher preach this message in this context. Never have I heard it preached this way again. Please turn up your volume because our recording equipment had a glitch and the audio is not of the best quality. Listen, learn, and be intrigued with the Lord's lesson in this event of 2,000 years ago. And again, let's get inoculated this new year, 2021, with the power of the Holy Ghost, and let us be led according to his instruction, not the world's. Don't be a guinea pig for Bill Gates, Tony Fauci, and Big Pharma. And let's throw in the CDC and the World Health Organization for good measure. On behalf of my father-in-law, go Chiefs. Jesus walked on water, should Peter have? Part 1.
The resurrection of Christ should be more celebrated than the birth of Christ. Not that either, not that the birth of Christ isn't important, but the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is more important. So, it gives us that detail. And so there are things in the Bible that only appear maybe in one gospel. And what we're going to read right now, Jesus walking on water appeared in three Gospels. Peter walking on water, only one Gospel. And that's the whole gist of Peter, looking at Peter. Not, I mean, Jesus walking on water is just another miracle, many of the miracles that Jesus brought and ministered while he was here, many of the miracles that are found in the Word of God. Of course, we talk about all the miracles and future things that are going to take place in the heavens and at the birth of Christ. So here, there's one account that reveals that Peter walked on water. Let's read it here, Matthew chapter 14. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. We're going to learn that this occurs right after Jesus feeding the 5,000. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. The fourth watch in the night. What are watches? Well, I sail to Bermuda. Some of my folks have been with me for a number of years. You remember, heard me tell. I sailed in a boat. I was in a sailboat race back in the 80s. I sailed a boat to Bermuda. I was just a crew member. But we had watches at night, starting from 6 at night to 6 in the morning. And you had 4-hour watches. Well, how many 4-hour watches do you get in a 12-hour period? 3. Here you have 3-hour watches. So how many 3-hour watches you get? 4. So that's why it says the fourth watch. So that was between 3 and 6 in the morning. We did 4-hour watches. But we had to wake one another up. The next watch, somebody had to go down with a 2-man watch who were on deck, one at the helm and one watching. At nighttime, you had to always be looking around and seeing what's going on. And you would then send one person down to wake up the next watch. They would wake up, come upstairs, and you would go back and sleep for 4 hours. So it says there that the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out of fear, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Now, this isn't the salvation of eternal life, believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't want him to drown. That's the saving here in this use of the word save. He was afraid he was going to sink into the water to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. That word save there means save my physical body. Save me from drowning. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, therefore didst thou doubt." And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Now, you have heard multitudes of sermons. If you've been saved for a while, or you listen on TV, or you listen on the radio, you have heard sermons, the faith of Peter getting out of the boat and walking on water. Jesus didn't say that Peter had faith, did he? He said, oh, deal, who else? I'm going to reverse this in the common sermon that you hear that's been regurgitated over and over and over again about Peter getting out of that boat. Because Jesus doesn't praise him. Preachers praise him and say, wow, Peter had faith to get out of the boat, but Jesus doesn't praise him. But you're going to learn the gist of the story, what the underlying embedded message is in this story. I guarantee if you listen to radio, Christian radio, this week, or TV, you may hear a sermon about Peter walking on the water. Peter having faith getting out of the boat. We're going to dispel that here in this lesson. And so, the backstory. What's the backstory? After the beheading of John the Baptist by Herod, Jesus and his disciples sailed to a deserted region. A Bible, the King James Bible says desert region, a desert place. But the desert, and we understand and learn in this desert, it means there's green grass. The people sat on green grass. It says green grass. And so it doesn't really mean desert the way we think of desert, sand and barren and just brown dirt and no vegetation. No, this was a deserted place. It was an uninhabited place on the Sea of Galilee. And he said, let's rest a while. Because they were all upset that Herod just beheaded John the Baptist. John the Baptist John the Baptist said, I'm to decrease, and he that is to come after me is to increase. The person whose shoelaces he couldn't even untie. But still, the men had great revere for John the Baptist, and to hear that he was beheaded, Jesus said, let's depart for a while and go and rest. Well, the multitude came out to see Jesus, so having compassion on them, he began to teach them. And then it was getting evening, and the disciples said, Lord, it's getting nighttime, and this is a deserted place, a desert place. There's no hot dog stands, no burrito stands, no barbecue stands, no restaurants. You're going to have to let them go and get some food. And so Jesus, from the boy who had five loaves of bread and two fishes, I think that's the only place in the Bible, or the only place, but in the Bible, you use the word fishes, right, English teacher? Fish means plural, right?
Yep.
As much as it means singular.
So which she,
my mother was Miss English teacher over here. But the Bible says fishes, and we say the story of the feeding of 5,000, but it says plus women and children. Plus women and children. You go back and read that. So I don't want to constantly focus on that story, but so it was well over 5,000 people, easily 10,000 or more. Just like we figured out how we figured when how many people were in the wilderness. We said there was, the Bible tells us in the book of Numbers, there were 600,000 fighting men of the Israelites who came out of Egypt. Well, they had wives. They had children. There were men who were not able to fight anymore because they were too old. And so we estimate that it was 2 million or more in the wilderness that God took out of the out of Egypt. And so the same principle applies here. Well, Jesus fed this multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and still there were 12 baskets of remnant of food left over. 12 baskets. Not only did God provide sufficient amount to feed them, he provided extra. He provided an abundance, an overabundance of food. And it was a great miracle. That miracle itself appears in all 4 Gospels. It's one of the rare incidences in the Bible outside of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that appears in all 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the story of Jesus walking on water appears on 3 Gospels, and the Peter walking on water, only 1 Gospel. The other 2 accounts of Jesus walking on water are found in Mark 6, 45 through 53, and John chapter 6, 15, verse 25. In John's account, the Jews that Jesus fed were perplexed at how Jesus got to the opposite shore without going in the boat with his disciples originally. They were perplexed. There was like one boat, there was no more boats on the shore, only one boat went out with the disciples, yet how did Jesus get to the other side of the multitude thing? Because we know Jesus went up into the mountain. How did that happen? They even asked him, how did you get over here? Because there wasn't a boat there for him to go over onto the opposite shore. Most likely, he was on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. Also, this event occurred after the disciples' first experience with Jesus and a storm. Remember this story. And there arose a great storm of wind and waves, and they beat into the ship so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Why do they obey him? Because he created them. Just like the stars and the moon and the sun obeyed God, he created them. When he said, stop in the heavens, what did they do? They stopped. That's a powerful God. Now, you think you have Peter, Joshua, Andrew, John. They were fishermen. Why would they be scared of the water? You're looking at an experienced sailor. I've been out on the water multitudes of times. When we hit a gale out in the Atlantic between Bermuda and Massachusetts, let me tell you, you're looking at a man who got scared.
Yep, it's overwhelming, bro.
Because that's a lot different than hitting a storm on a smaller body of water or upon land. I tell Kim over and over again, there's a big difference with a big storm approaching you when you're on land versus you're on water. You have nowhere to go. You have nowhere to go. And you don't want to go below because you want to watch what's going on up above. And so I'm telling you, I was the youngest man on this crew, and it hit at night again. Everybody except for the captain and the navigator had to come on deck, all hands on deck, and help during this gale that lasted all night long. Lightning, the wind was, you had the size of a sail, the sail was the size of a diaper on that mast, and the boat still over like this. Water, the rooster tails coming off of the winches on the leeward side of the boat. The rain horizontal. The wind blowing the crest of the waves into your eyes. Lightning striking all around you. And you're waiting for you to get hit next. It was a scary experience. And to top that all off, on the radio you hear other boats in the race yet crying out, "Made it." Calling for the Coast Guard and crying out, "Made it." Several people in that race abandoned the race. Guess who, not on my boat, but who was in that race? Somebody you see on news all the time, Fox News all the time. Geraldo Rivera. He was with, I think it was 60 Minutes, Hugh Downs, either 2020 or 60 Minutes, back in the 80s. He was in that race. They got disqualified. Right at the beginning. So, again, this story is found in all three what they call the Synoptic Gospels. What are the Synoptic Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are very similar to one another, and John is slightly different, much more different than the comparison between Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so they call those the Synoptic Gospels. This story appears three times. And so, they've already seen the power of Christ with a storm and how he can still the waves and bring peace to a raging sea. The Sea of Galilee and its significance. The Sea of Galilee was a rich source of food for all of Israel and a bustling region of maritime enterprise in the Galilee region, with many coastal towns like Capernaum, Tiberias. You see these towns in the Bible, Tiberias, Gennesaret, Bethsaida, which means house of fish. It is fed by the waters of the Jordan River from the slopes of Mount Hermon, which is located between Syria and Lebanon. There's a huge mountain, and the waters come down from this mountain and feed the fresh water into the Jordan River, and the Jordan River feeds into the Sea of Galilee on the uphill section of it, on the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. And then at the bottom part of the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River begins again and feeds water all the way down to the Dead Sea. Okay, right past Jericho, down to the Dead Sea. Just north of the Dead Sea, right around Jericho, is where John the Baptist baptized. And he baptized there. But it was fresh water. It was cold water, with refreshing water. It was rich with fish and livelihood, and so men made it their business to fish it and to harvest things out of the water for the coastal people and even for Jerusalem.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.